but for the record, Aaron Jansen's Fire Chief, Portland Fire and Rescue. I have with me Deborah Harrison, who is our Business Operations Supervisor. As Commissioner Saltzman stated, and everyone knows, this has been a tough budget. And we heard members of council asked for, creative solutions to hard problems. Our management team developed a plan that creates efficiencies for the taxpayer through innovative approaches that maintains critical emergency response capabilities at all our fire and rescue stations throughout the city, and also sustains the high level of service Portlanders expect of their fire bureau. Portland Fire and Rescue is trying a new apparatus called a Quint that will preserve our limited truck companies, but supports deployment of a fire attack line if needed in an emergency. We also reorganized some resources to higher demand areas to respond more equitably across the city. Because Portland Fire and Rescue is a critical part of the safety net, we introduced new rapid response vehicles specifically for medical calls where they're needed in Old Town and East Portland. Their RRVs also help improve the response reliability and response time of critical fire apparatus with staffing needed for more complicated and critical emergencies. Despite all of these efficiencies and innovations, the tools we use, the apparatus we ride, and the stations we staff and we operate from are meaningless without our most important asset, and that's our highly trained firefighters. To that end, we're here today to request council to approve our application for the 2013 SAFER grant, staffing for adequate fire and emergency response offered through FEMA. The SAFER program was implemented in 2003. However, since it's designed solely for departments that need to either rehire firefighters already laid off or have issued official layoff notices to, Portland Fire and Rescue did not previously qualify for this funding. Unfortunately, now we do. On July 30th, Portland Fire and Rescue issued layoff notices to firefighters, impacting 26 people with the potential to close 2 fire and rescue stations. We respectfully request from Council the support to apply for this SAFER funding, which if we receive will total over $4.5 million and can be used for the sole purpose of paying salary and benefits for these 26 firefighters for the next 2 years. Some specifics of the grant requirements are copies of the formal layoff notices must be included with the application. There's no cost match requirement and no maintenance of effort as have been previously required in former years. And grantees must maintain the SAFER funded staffing as well as the staffing at the level that existed at the time of the award for the 2-year commitment of the funding. I'd like to take a minute just to thank Business Operations Supervisor Deborah Harrison, who with the help of Merrill Gonderman, our Deputy Chief of Special Operations, and Firefighter Isaac McLennan, and others who wrote this very complicated grant application. And I'd like to thank you for considering this opportunity for Portland Fire and Rescue to apply for the grant. There's a lot riding on it, not only for the firefighters and their families that will be directly impacted, but to the people of Portland who count on the services Portland Fire and Rescue provides.
Thank you.
Questions for the Bureau? All right. Thank you both very much. Good work. And I know we have some folks signed up to testify.
We have one person, Alan Furschweiler.
Morning, Alan.
For the record, Alan Furschweiler, I'm president of the Portland Firefighters Association. Good morning. I just wanted to hit a couple extra points on that, and I think that discussion of our bridge funding and our 26 positions that we have, and I think that's one of the things that we're focusing on with the SAFER grant, and I want to emphasize is that if we do not get this grant and we don't get bridge funding, we have to have further cuts to the fire service and to the stations that currently exist. And so the changes that happened on July 1st, those are there and those are there to stay for right now. But if on October 9th we don't get this grant or further bridge funding, we have to look for 2 company closures or 2 other fire stations that will need to be further closed at that time. But I wanted to kind of talk about what happened, especially in the past week. On July 30th, the Bureau, which they did a very good job in bringing in all 26 people that were available, into the fire station one and talk to him about the layoff notice and actually give it to him in person. And thanks to Chief Jansen for allowing me to be a portion of that day. That weekend, when the grant came out and it said we are going to open it on July 30th, my one commitment to our members was to call each and every one of those 26 people personally and tell them that they have our support and that I think about them all the time. And I think through this past 8 months, of anything, I can tell you the thought of them and their families has weighed on me and our other union officers greatly. The last person, of course, his name is Steve, and he's one that I really think about a lot. He's the last person in seniority. 8 years as a Marine, he was a civil servant over in Seaside, and he left that position to come and work for a firefighter for Citizens Portland. He's got three kids. It would just be devastating to him and his family if he did actually have to have that layoff. And so, again, I just want to reemphasize, I understand you guys are in a difficult budget position. I think this is an opportunity to be able to prevent any of those layoffs. And a firefighter like Steve that worked for Seaside, decorated Marine, to be able to keep his employment status with you. So, again, thank you for letting me to testify. I'd encourage a yes vote, answer any questions that you guys would have.
Great. I guess I just have one question. And first, I want to thank you for your persistence on this issue. I know you've been talking to each of our offices, making sure we get this right and honor a commitment we made. Looking at the item before us, authorizing the application, the amount, the sequencing, are you satisfied that we're fulfilling a commitment that we made?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Other questions for Alan? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else signed up to testify? Then let's take a roll call.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, President Furschweiler, for your testimony and for, you know, putting a human face on this unfortunate situation where we have to lay off 26 firefighters. Thank you to those firefighters who are here today for all of your service to our city and its residents. And let's get this grant into FEMA. Aye.
Novick.
I very much hope that this application will be successful. I too want to thank our firefighters for all the work they do, both fighting fires and responding to medical emergencies. And let's cross our fingers. Thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Thanks to Commissioners Saltzman, Chief Jansen, and Carol Boucher. And again, we all hope that we get this grant. Aye.
Fish.
We made a commitment that we would vigorously pursue this grant, and Alan has kept our feet to the fire. And today we're moving forward to honor that commitment. As someone that is knows what it's like to have a firefighter come to your house and answer a call and provide world-class service, I am as committed as all my colleagues are to securing this grant and hoping to avert layoffs that none of us wish. Thank you, Dan, for bringing this forward, and the council fully supports your application. Aye.
Hales.
Well, we were hard-pressed by this budget, and a lot of hard choices were queued up for the five of us, and difficult things, including giving people layoff notices, were the results of those hard choices. It's very fortunate that in this case we have an exit door, and we're going to try our very best, and this partnership that you heard from here this morning is a good sign of our hopes for that process, to make sure we get to use that exit door, and that people who we value as part of our team and that provide great service to our community will still be with us, and that those layoff notices will just be a piece of paper, not a reality. I want to particularly compliment you, Alan, and the Portland Firefighters Association for working in great partnership with the Bureau and with us to get this application together, to make a strong case to the federal government that this is exactly the circumstances that the SAFER grant was intended for. Portland doesn't ask the federal government for help unless we really need it. This time we do. And if there's anything that I can do as the mayor of this city to augment the quality of this application with whatever persuasion I can apply to the federal government, I'll be happy to pick up the phone and help. Thank you all. We look forward to hearing a favorable response to this grant from FEMA soon. Aye. Thank you. Thanks, Commissioner. Okay. Next, let's go back to the regular agenda.
Item 759, amend a contract with LifeWorks Northwest in an amount not to exceed $200,000 and extend the term through June 30, 2015 to work with the Police Bureau Prostitution Coordination Team.
Good morning.
Mayor, Commissioners, good morning. I'm Mike Gallagher, one of the officers who work at the East Precinct Coordination Team. First, I'd like to thank you for funding the services that work the human trafficking victims as well as the women trying to remove themselves from the life of prostitution.
I'm Kristen Lum, Program Coordinator with New Options for Women with LifeWorks Northwest. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
During the recent budget talks, there were questions asked regarding the operating expenses and success rate of LifeWorks New Option for Women program, as well as the Sex Buyers Accountability and Diversion School, also known as the John School. Unfortunately, the answers to these success rate question is not easy as telling you the number of women who have graduated from the program. We wanted you to know that the program is working and there is a noticeable decrease in the number of women working out on 82nd Avenue as well as Standing Boulevard who were involved in prostitution. To provide the answers to the questions, the Deputy District Attorney working at our office, Kelly Cloyd, Kristen, and myself worked together to come up with these reporting requirements that the LifeWorks Now program will provide on a quarterly basis. This information will be reported back to East Precinct's Prostitution Coordination Team and then will be shared with Commander Westbrook. The amendment, the LifeWorks reporting requirement, is in addition to the original contract we had in place for the 2012-2013 fiscal year. In coming up with this amendment, we looked at how we could best track the women involved in the program and provide information on how they were doing. Additionally, we included tracking information related to the John School participants as well as the money generated from that program. We also included information about the administrative costs associated with the NOW program. We believe this information will be invaluable in the future to answer questions about the LifeWorks New Option for Women program and demonstrate the importance of the work they're doing. Kristen and I are here to answer any questions you might have about the amendment and the New Options for Women program.
Great. Thank you.
So this data or these outcomes data will be reported to whom?
We reported to myself at the prostitution team, the team members on the team, with the commander at the precinct, and then be shared with the commissioners at their request.
And it's every 6 months the data is compiled?
Quarterly, then we'll have a summary every 6 months that will be available.
I'm certainly interested in seeing the data as it evolves.
Very much.
Could you clarify that our materials say this is funded with $100,000 one-time special appropriation and $100,000 Byrne Memorial Justice? Is the $100,000 special appropriation in our most recently adopted budget, or are we taking it out of contingency?
Oh, my understanding is the recent budget.
Most recent.
Yep. That was in our budget.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Other questions for our team here? Great.
I did want to say we heard you, and we have changed how we are keeping track of things, and we have made it much more clear to report back. So we heard everything you said, and we're really thankful for that feedback, and we're doing the best to show more clearly, just so you can see that we heard you, and now we know the process a little better, so we can be here and in the conversation the whole time, and we look forward to any questions you might have throughout the year. Please feel free to reach out. We'd love to talk more about it. So.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you being responsive. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Oh, I forgot. Since I last saw all of you, we've had five women graduate the New Options for Women program. So completely abstinent from drug and alcohol use and exit from the lifestyle with gainful employment or educational schooling plan. So that's a pretty big yay.
That's a big yay.
Yeah, it's in the last 4 months or so.
Yeah, I think a couple, two were in the end of the last fiscal year, but three have been in this fiscal year already. So
that's great.
Just an update.
Thank you. All right, other questions? And is there anyone else signed up on this?
Yes, we have Joe Walsh.
Come on up, Mr. Walsh.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice, and we're here to fully support the reintroduction of the monies for this program. It's a national problem, but the underage prostitution is is so odious that I was excited about the work that Commissioner Fritz did on this, and also the mayor being involved, and also for the second time in 2 weeks, complimenting the police department. We are in fully support of this, and we just thank you for fighting to get this money back. I used to live very close to 82nd Street, and I know the area reasonably well. So it's something that has to be addressed. It's something that, as human beings, we really need to stop it. So thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Anyone else signed up?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Then let's take a roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the council for approving the funding for the New Options for Women program in the recent budget process. LifeWorks has been one of our partners from the beginning of the city's efforts to combat human trafficking. I want, as was pointed out, this contract is great because it does have new data reporting requirements, which coincides in a great way with Portland State University's study that was released on Monday with hard data about child trafficking in Portland. Quantifiable, factual information will shed light on this hidden topic. So thank you to LifeWorks and to the East Precinct Prostitution Coordination Team, and thanks in particular to Officer Mike Gallagher for his steadfast commitment to ending prostitution. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the good news about your recent successes. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your participation in the budget process. It must be noted that this contract is $47,000 less than last year's, and so as the mayor graciously agreed when I voted for the budget, we will be looking at what additional services we can provide to both adults and children escaping prostitution. So I invite both of you to contact my office, because we need to get going on that now that I've got a little bit of a handle on my new bureaus. That's certainly very close to the top of my to-do list. So if you can be thinking about who else should be engaged in that discussion, I agree that the reporting requirements is going to be helpful. We do need to be able to show that we're investing public's money wisely and making improvements. Just coming today and saying that we have five survivors who are now on the beyond the road to recovery. They're there. So thank you both for your work. And I know that each one of those people has a story, and that each one of you was a part of that recovery. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
And Mayor, I recently attended the groundbreaking for LifeWorks Northwest new residential facility in Inner Northeast, and I met a number of the women and their children who are in recovery that will call that new facility home. That is funded in part through the Portland Housing Bureau and with the use of urban renewal money, and they, on their third try in a competitive process, secured funding to make this a reality. Mm-hmm. If you visited the existing facility up beyond Widmer Brewing, you know why it is so vitally important that we have a modern facility for their clients. And in addition to the work they do in addressing and combating prostitution, they do such wonderful work with women in recovery. So thank you for your great work in our community. I'm proud to vote aye.
Hales.
You know, we have to make our decisions up here with our hearts and our heads. So you're giving us the ability to do that here by both highlighting really outrageous crime and the need to be serious about fighting it, and giving us quantifiable justification for how we spend the public's money. Those are two reasonable things to make decisions on, and you're giving us the tools to do that and to do very important work, and I appreciate that work that you're doing. Thank you. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Okay. 759. Nope, 760.
760, accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $20,000 from the Oregon Department of Transportation, Transportation Safety Division 2013 Portland Police Speed Grant for sworn personnel overtime.
Good morning. Good
morning. I am Lieutenant Chris Davis with the Portland Police Traffic Division, and we're here today to ask for you to accept this grant. This covers the rest of the federal fiscal year, so
So it's $20,000 to be used for speed enforcement over time between now and the end of September, and then we'll be able to reapply, presumably for a larger grant for next federal fiscal year. And we all know that there has been an uptick in traffic fatalities in Portland in 2013, and one of the common factors in traffic fatalities is speed. We recently lost five positions in the traffic division in the budget crisis. And so this grant will enhance our ability to conduct speed enforcement missions in high crash corridors. And these are multi-officer missions. And we can also use this as a force multiplier for the ongoing projects we have with the state police and the sheriff's office to do enhanced traffic safety enforcement in Portland. So we would ask for your support for this today.
Great. Thank you. Questions?
Could you remind us what are the high crash corridors, I guess?
There are several throughout the city, and there are areas that have been identified as having above average traffic crash rates. Southeast Division Street is one example of a high crash corridor.
Southeast Powell?
Powell is actually a high crash corridor for the city, and it's one of the highest crash locations on state facilities in Oregon.
Thanks.
Other questions, Lieutenant Davis? Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else that's testifying on this?
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank Lieutenant Davis for the work the Traffic Division has done, where we've had street closures and major arterials this summer, and we've asked the Traffic Division to go in and over-patrol and make sure that people aren't speeding through neighborhoods when they take detours. And you've issued a lot of citations and really helped to make sure that those closures haven't resulted in the adjoining neighborhoods being unsafe. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
My understanding is that the grant period that when the overtime has to be done ends by September 30th.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think the public should be aware that you will have a lot of patrols out between now and then.
Yes, we will.
They're warned, and we hope they don't need the warning, but we're glad you're out there.
Thank you.
Thanks. Other questions for Lieutenant Davis? Anyone else signed up?
Yes, we have three people. Please come on up. Are Mary Eng, Ben Pickering, and Joseph Gordot.
Okay, Mary, on this topic, please.
Okay.
Police brutality?
On this, no, has nothing to do with police brutality. It has to do with traffic enforcement.
Okay. Thank you, Council. This is Mary Eng. I just wanted to clarify if I understood this resolution to be a measure towards increasing traffic safety by offering police overtime.
Paying for overtime. Paying so for they can overtime. Be out there longer.
And what is the permissible, allowable overtime that officers are allowed to have, and what kind of risk assessment is done for accidents that happen after a certain threshold is reached in terms of increased safety due to overwork or overstress or possible missing of meals or breaks?
We can probably get you answers to those questions, but I'd ask you to talk to Lieutenant Davis after the council.
Lieutenant Davis?
Right behind you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. What do the people get paid that call in accidents or people on the road or whatnot? I mean, who actually drives around that's got nothing better to do, whether it's, you know, I mean, I know friends and everybody and daddy's got friends, but people that drive nice trucks just like to drive around because they ain't got nothing better to do, residential, around a corner, down southeast, northeast, wherever. But, I mean, what do they get a little pension for, like, their time just to drive around even though they're, you know, not wearing a badge or nothing? But, I mean, would it be cool to be brought up to have something, you know, just throw out there if someone's got a little bit of free time out there just driving around just to enjoy their day, whatever, in the neighborhood? You know, like they say, is you think it'd be, you know, what does that cost?
Okay, thanks for coming. We'll get your answers outside of the hearing, okay? Thanks. Anyone else?
That's all.
Okay, council vote.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Yeah, you know, the police chief, with good cause, celebrated the accomplishments of the Bureau and the community in reducing Part 1 crime from last year to this year by about 9%. That's great news. But as Lieutenant Davis pointed out, we're having a bad year for traffic safety. And enforcement really matters. Engineering matters, education matters, but so does enforcement. And it's really been appalling to see, as I do the daily situation reports coming from the police bureau, with pedestrian collision after bicycle collision after accident with injuries or fatalities. So this traffic enforcement work is really important. And we have, and the presence on the street has a both a suppressing effect on accidents that therefore don't happen, and apprehends people who are causing problems out there. So, boy, we're getting, unfortunately, way too many reminders this year in appalling statistics about loss of life and serious injury that traffic safety matters. So we appreciate the good work you're doing.
Can we yield on one point? Sure. I live in the Grant Park neighborhood, and I would actually have some friendly advice for people who are on bikes and in cars. That sign that's in red that says stop at the intersection, if people actually stopped, I've now noticed that it is now equal opportunity.
Yeah.
The bikes don't stop, the cars don't stop. The only difference is the cars can do more damage than a bike. But I don't know that we've amended our laws to say that those are just cautionary signs. I believe they still require a complete stop, and I would think that's a surprise to a lot of people in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I agree, and I actually have been looking at the statistics as they come through, and there's a little bit of a pattern which you might lump a lot of these injuries and fatalities into behavior that I would somewhat flippantly call being clueless in the right-of-way, whether you're driving a car while texting, walking across the street texting, riding a bike without a helmet diagonally across an intersection. There are lots of ways to get hurt or killed by operating casually in a dangerous environment, which is what these folks have done. And then the other biggest factor, by far, is alcohol. And so traffic enforcement does a very good job when they're out there of apprehending people that are driving under the influence.
I could also just note, Mayor, that we know lots of people, including members of this council, who have lost loved ones in car accidents. It is something that you never recover from. And in addition, I know people who have been behind the wheel and have, through an accident, taken a life. And it's something they have never recovered for. And I think if people, in their rush and in their selfishness, took a moment to think that ultimately the cost of this reckless behavior could be a life, an innocent life, particularly in a residential area, we might see a higher degree of responsible driving and cycling, because I believe it's now an equal opportunity offense.
You're here. Thank you very much. Aye. Thanks. Okay, next item, Carla.
761, amend an intergovernmental agreement with the Multnomah County District Attorney to reimburse the Police Bureau for overtime cost up to $31,995 of officers assigned to the District Attorney's Office as investigators.
Great. Thank you. Do you want to read the other item, too, since we've... Are you doing both of these?
I think I'm only doing one.
Okay, go ahead.
The VA.
Sorry.
I hope.
The other ones.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Margaret Bonson. I'm a sergeant with the Portland Police Bureau in the Detective Division. The Portland Police Bureau has provided three officers to perform investigations for the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. These investigations are directly and indirectly related to the prosecution of crimes within Multnomah County. The City and Multnomah County District Attorney's Office have an agreement stating the City of Portland will be reimbursed for overtime incurred for these investigations up to $31,994. The Police Bureau is asking that you accept this ordinance for reimbursement of the overtime funds for the 2014 fiscal year.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Questions? Anyone signed up?
Yes, we have Mary Eng and Ben Pickering.
You have the authority to say
that. Yeah, not again, Mary. Mary, this is on only this item. Okay.
We had to resolve a security issue outside.
No, please go resolve it outside.
But I'm allowed to speak on the measure for which I spoke?
Only on this item.
And the item, since I was outside, could I?
It's reimbursing us from Multnomah County for police investigations.
Okay. And how long am I permitted to speak, Mr. Hales?
3 minutes on
three
this
minutes.
Subject.
Okay. So reimbursements for the City of Portland for investigations from Multnomah County, which I've heard Multnomah County has more money than the city, and the city's been having some anxiety about finances. And so the reimbursement protocol, you know, and actually I would like to have a copy of this in writing. Is that possible?
Yes, we can get you a copy.
Okay, that would be nice. And this is for police investigations with the Joint Terrorism Task Force?
No, nothing to
just
do with that.
Just common petty crime?
Yes.
Okay. And then crimes upon citizens that are instigated by police officers?
That's not the subject before us.
That's not the subject before us? Okay.
Thanks very much.
I just want to, before I get started, I know what this is about, but just one thing I don't know. I got 3 minutes. Okay. Is this for either, I don't take sides because I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but this is for a petty crime or police brutality, kind of in a way, like either fighting for either side?
This is just the county reimbursing the police bureau for overtime when we're investigating.
For investigating? Right. Well, for the right reasons, I have nothing to say. Let's
okay. Go. Thanks very much. Anyone else? Carla, anyone else?
No, that's okay. All I've signed up.
Roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. 762.
Amend an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County District Attorney to increase funding in the amount of $3,058 for child abuse investigations.
Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rachel Andrew. I am the acting captain at Family Services Division. This amendment is merely a clerical error that the county performed when they were giving the amount back to the city. So it's an add of $3,058.
Okay, great. Thank you. Questions?
Captain Andrew, that was the most succinct and persuasive testimony we've had today.
Brevity is our friend.
Thank you. It is no wonder you are rising so rapidly through the ranks.
Thank you very much. Anyone signed up?
Mary Ng and Ben Pickering.
Oh, Mary, come on. No. Mary, this I'm not going to allow you to continue to testify.
But I'm a citizen. I don't see why I get special rules where my free speech is violated.
Because we have 600,000 citizens in the city. And
well, let's get them to come to the meetings.
That would be a good idea, but you have to give them room. So I'm going to rule that we're not going to take any more testimony on this, and we're going to go ahead and approve it. It's a clerical error, Mary.
Can the other commissioners verify that the mayor is not acting out of order in trying to suppress citizen testimony on child abuse?
I will move to call the question.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, let's vote.
Question's been called. Let's have a roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I, too, appreciate your succinct testimony. I think we're all wondering why we were voting on $3,058. Aye.
Fritz?
We're voting on the original question.
Yeah.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, 763.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Mayor.
We need to do the roll call on 762 first.
That was my question. I didn't.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
The question.
That was the amendment. Okay, now roll call on the original question. I'm sorry. I didn't understand you, Commissioner. Yes.
Is that first roll call, was that on the motion? Or?
That was on the, apparently on the.
Call the question.
On the motion, sorry. Now it's on the amendment itself.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
So for the record, I would not have voted yes on the motion to call the question, but I do vote yes on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. 763.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to reimburse Police Bureau overtime costs up to $15,000 for education and enforcement efforts to reduce alcohol service to visibly intoxicated persons and service to minors at Portland bars and nightclubs.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning. Thanks for having us. My name is Officer Ariana Ridgely. I work for Central Precinct Entertainment Detail. And today we came to bring about an intergovernmental agreement. This is Sandra Storm. She's from the county. They had a federal grant to reduce high-risk drinking among young people, 18-25. And she asked if we had any ideas on how to do that. Working in the entertainment detail, we see a lot of over-service, which often leads to a variety of problems later down the road, including the traffic accidents that we just discussed.
Can I just ask you,
yes.
Just to define, what does over-service mean?
It means serving someone too much alcohol.
And I'm just curious, if a bartender under Oregon law knows that someone is inebriated and keeps serving that customer, do we attach any liability on the bartender or the owner?
Yes, the bartender, it's a misdemeanor to do so.
It's a misdemeanor?
Correct.
And if that customer who's inebriated leaves the bar and they observe the person inebriated gets in a car, is the, I know in some states they attach liability to the owner of the bar for the subsequent accident. Do we have a similar law in Oregon?
I believe the OLCC can fine them for things like that. Generally, they sue them civilly.
But I know that just my sense is in other states they've passed statutes that say if a bartender serves someone who's inebriated, right, knows they're getting in a car, and there's a subsequent accident, that is considered a foreseeable event, and they are liable in the chain for whatever happens.
I don't think Oregon has that.
But our authority then is to ding the owner or the bartender for a misdemeanor offense if they are serving someone who's clearly inebriated and they over, what
Correct.
You say is over served.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So our idea, unfortunately in Oregon, in order to actually go forward with that ORS, you have to see them do it. You have to get the actual bartender. You can't charge the bar with it. So that's very, it has to be the person who served them last. So that can be kind of difficult, especially for uniformed officers, to see. We don't spend a lot of time directly inside the bars, at the bar, watching people get drinks. So this grant from the county would allow overtime costs for backfill for two plainclothes officers to go into establishments and observe servers to see if we are seeing any of this overservice. And if we see it, then we will cite the server. And our hope initially is that they will have an option to take some kind of overservice education class to dismiss the ticket on the first offense.
Did you say two plainclothes officers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. For safety.
Yeah.
We'll go in by ourselves.
Oh, I get it.
All of these missions will be documented in reports. Tickets will be sent to the DA's office. We're working with one of our neighborhood DAs on getting those prosecuted and working with community court to get a class set up so that, like the CBEL class does with traffic tickets, they could take that instead. And we'll be reporting back to the county on how the money is spent.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Question. Does the Oregon Liquor Control Commission still have sort of undercover people working? Also?
They do, and we are going to hopefully have one or two with us on each one of these missions. We're working with them because they have a different site where they can site the establishment and not just the server. So we're trying to work together jointly to do that.
Are they looking at both underage drinking and over-serving?
Correct.
And how much of a, how egregious does the violation have to be, or how many repeat violations until you can actually take some more dramatic action against the owner, operator?
The owner of the bar.
Shut them down or take, you know.
From OLCC standpoint, I don't know how they do that. If we saw those, from the city standpoint, we can use that to some degree in a time, place, manner violation for the establishment later through the liquor licensing committee. It generally has to be the way the laws, and it's they should have known. The person is visibly intoxicated. It's very obvious that they are intoxicated and should not have any more alcohol. And you just have to articulate it, what you're seeing.
You know, if I don't want to give away too much here, but I'm a cable TV junkie, and there's a couple of these undercover restaurant shows that are big hits now, and not infrequently, one of the problems is a bartender over-serving, someone struggling, you know, staggering out, getting into a car, and that's what often sends the owner who's watching and hidden camera over the top, and it actually happens quite a bit in those shows. So I think. Going upstream and trying to prevent this so that people don't leave these establishments and get in their car and become essentially a weapon is vitally important.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea. Welcome. Want to add anything?
No, I mean, just thank you for listening to this. And so I coordinate the project. It's called the Strategic Prevention Framework State Incentive Grant Project.
Put your name into the record.
Yes, my name is Sandra Storm, and I'm with Multnomah County Mental Health and Addiction Services. And I'm coordinating this grant project to reduce high-risk drinking. And I just wanted to mention that with the project, we are looking at multiple strategies. We're working with the colleges in Multnomah County, as well as a task force that's focused on the entertainment district, because that is where a lot of the young adults go to drink. And the Portland Police, as well as the City of Portland Office of Neighborhood Involvement, have been very involved and very helpful in thinking about creative strategies to address this issue. So we are looking at multiple strategies. Enforcement is definitely a research-based strategy around addressing some of these issues, but we're also looking at policy, looking at the norms and kind of messaging in the district, as well as the direct work with college students. So,
can I ask you about that point? Because I have a rising college junior in my household, and so my sense is that most college students in Oregon are not legally allowed to buy and consume alcohol until at least their junior year, generally.
Right.
And yet, my own personal experience as a former college student is that that the enforcement on the campus is not as vigorous as it could be. Do colleges, is it your experience that our local colleges and universities are trying to get the word out that students are not allowed to consume alcohol if they're underage off campus? Do they have programs in place around that?
Yeah, well, so there's six colleges that we're working with on our task force, and so each of those schools are unique. Portland State, the environment at PSU is different than the environment at Reed or at Lewis and Clark. So I would say on campus, there are varying degrees of infrastructure established to address some of the drinking issues and different cultures, different philosophies. But there are six schools that are working with us that are trying to strengthen those resources that they have and strengthen the policies that they have. So I would say it varies a lot depending on the school, what their actual practices are and the resources that they have to address those. But it is definitely an issue that all of the campuses are aware of and are trying and are working to try to address. With PSU being the largest university, in Oregon, the average age for a student at PSU is actually 26. But as it has increased size, the traditional students have increased as well, and there's more student housing. And so they're really trying to ramp up efforts to address some of the on-campus housing issues. And then, of course, being in the city, there's much more of there's an intersection between urban issues and city issues as well as student issues. So
appreciate that point, because my wife teaches at PSU and she reminds me it's a continuum of learning. So people come back at different stages, the way we see in community colleges, whereas you might see at Reed more students that are in the sort of traditional ages for college, whereas at PSU people are coming back and continuing their education maybe on a less structured basis. So thank you for that.
So part of the work that we're doing is focused in residence life, so catching those students that are living on campus at PSU. And we're doing some concentrated work with residence life around campaigns and enforcement policy and all that. So.
Thank you. Good morning. Can I add anything?
Morning. Jay Gahan, Portland Police. Just the one thing I'd like to add to what Officer Ridgely stated is that although this will be performed in bars and establishments where people are supposed to be 21, it's going to help us get a handle on the underage drinking problem with the times that we're in now. Underage people have a great resource of getting IDs that show that they're 21 from overseas, and they get a lot of that stuff that the bars have trouble detecting. So this will help us not only stop the overservice, but also enforce against the people using the fake IDs.
Good. Thank you.
So they're getting fake driver's licenses overseas?
Yes. Okay. China's one of the worst, I guess, countries that has these companies that they don't really take any enforcement against. They actually get two-for-one deals when they purchase their IDs. In case the first one gets confiscated, they have a backup that they can use another time.
Wow. Great. Other questions for the team? Thank you. Anyone signed up?
Just Mary and Ben.
Mary. It's got to be on this topic.
I would move to call the question again.
Okay.
Could I get a clarification from the city attorney on people being allowed to testify?
mayor has the authority, if he finds that the testimony is creating a disruption in the council meeting, to limit public testimony.
And there's precedent on that. Mayor Adams, on situations where people came on every single item and in particular did not address the item, Mayor Adams invoked that clause. And one of the reasons he did is that there are lots of other people that are inconvenienced when people testify not on the subject matter and for the purpose of just filibustering. And the mayor does have, under Robert's rules, the right to maintain good order.
Thanks, and I intend to use that again. If you want to testify on this subject, you get to do that. But if you get to come up here again and again and again and talk about what you want to talk about, that's not what this forum's for. It's 763.
Hi, members of the council. My name is Mary Eng. I would like to heartily congratulate you on your support for 763, a measure to authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to reimburse the Police Bureau overtime costs of up to $15,000 for education and enforcement efforts to reduce alcohol service to visibly intoxicated persons and service to minors at Portland bars and nightclubs. I'd like to encourage you to consider the risks of continued use or abuse of overtime as a measure when we have a staffing crisis and cutbacks on a lot of emergency services, police and firemen, et cetera. But I would like to support the measure because of the severe sadness and sorrow deaths via DUI and intoxicated drivers cause. And I think with young people, especially the Generation Y, is in an extreme crisis financially. A lot of us have been unemployed, Gen X and Gen Y. So the turning to alcohol as a means to satisfy the internal economic and social struggle we face is definitely something that we should find better ways to encourage a productive and happy and harmonious community. So this will be a first step, and I would like to also laud the state of Oregon for their progressive measures in alcohol enforcement in terms of the famous case regarding a death by a drunk driver, and that in some ways Oregon seems to have a tendency to be a bit of a controlling in terms of our social crimes, but I think some measures to protect the community and especially at-risk minors or juveniles may help prevent some of these unfortunate occurrences of death and rape which are happening, or abuse of the homeless at-risk juvenile population as well. So trying to get some curtailment of that, which is often used in the human trafficking and child trafficking phenomenon, which is so relentlessly pursued by Amanda Marshall. That's something we can all be proud of here in Portland, Oregon, as we attempt to help the at-risk children. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Hi. For the alcohol thing, I agree on what she said, but to take attention or take it in, and we talked about this just the other day on TV. I've experience this stuff. I see it on the streets and stuff. It's kind of like one of those things. Came here and said something about the crime going up. The alcohol, there should be a limit on, understanding, it should be a private place if you're old enough with ID, and each person should have a limit to what they buy, because some people go into stores, I see it all the time, in and out of trafficking stores and different stuff, where kids go up to a certain amount of people. I've heard it, I've seen it, they've even come up to me and asked me about it. Well, I can just go down the street and get it some from another guy or gal that's old enough that will buy it for me. Not a big deal. I'm like, well, and the violence is just like, some of the people are either upset or this and that. Some of the people, are just scrounging up money. But to take it, to be abusive with it, scrounging up just to get that alcohol, that drink, well, sometimes, it's like I see people, having a hard day at work. I've hung around with my daddy and hit some of his friends on some of my friends' dads and parents, they work, go out and you bust the sweat. I've helped my mom and dad in the garden or whatever, and, I'm of age to drink, and you know, and I don't gorge myself, but one cools me off, and the breeze picks up, and it cools me off just fine. But I mean, taking advantage of the deal, you know, socializing, drinking some wine and whatever, that's cool. But a lot of it's like one of those things that it's going up. But it's like there should be a limit on, you know, what it is anyway. And being moral support, I think the best thing for a few things.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Anyone else?
That's all.
Roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I very much appreciate the team's work on this. I was at the Downtown Neighborhood Association's National Night Out party last night. I was talking to Mike Boyer, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement's Crime Prevention Specialist for downtown, hearing about the remarkable work of the Police Bureau, partnering with the Mayor's Office and our attention to the so-called entertainment district and the issues that you're facing. So it's also a great example of our partnership with the county and recognizing this is our problem. And it does highlight some of the challenges we have with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Of all the things I lost in Oni going over to you, that the battles with the OLCC are not one of those that I am missing in any way, shape, or form. But thank you, Mayor, for your leadership on this, and again to the team for your coming and for working on this problem. Aye.
Fish.
I would also like to thank the panel that came before us today for an excellent and thorough and thoughtful presentation. It was good to hear about this work, and this seems like a fairly modest investment with the potential for a big community impact. So thank you. Aye.
Hales.
You know, we're right on the ragged edge in Old Town between a safe and successful entertainment district and the Wild West. And we all know which side of that line we want to be on. And in fact, I don't have much patience with those that want to drag us over the line into the Wild West, whether that's individuals who are trying to buy alcohol who aren't legally permitted to do so, bars that are serving it to them, or people that are unmindful of the fact that they have neighbors that would like to get a good night's sleep. I think we can make this work, but it is going to require cooperation of the community and the kind of cooperation that we see here with this panel in Multnomah County working effectively with the Police Bureau. You mentioned the OLCC. You're not done with those issues, Commissioner Fritz, and you know that because I want us to start thinking soon about our legislative agenda for next session and the fact that we've had this experience with what's working and what's not working in terms of the OLCC's regulations. Seen some real success in terms of the OLCC's work on last Thursday. They were out there last Thursday and did a great job. And we also see this carnage of too many people operating motor vehicles under the influence of alcohol. So we have a lot to talk about with the OLCC in terms of our authority to keep it on the right side of that line between a safe and successful entertainment area and the Wild West, and we want them to be our partners too. So this is good work. I appreciate the partnership and look forward to continuing it. Thank you. Aye. Okay. We are to 765.
Vacate portions of Southeast Sherritt Street and Southeast Umatilla Street west of Southeast Grand Avenue subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Good morning. It is
good
still morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. John Deo with the City of Portland Right-of-Way Acquisition. Before you is the proposed vacation of portions of Sherritt and Umatilla Streets west of Southeast Grand Avenue. This street vacation was initiated by the Bureau of Environmental Services pursuant to a stipulated general judgment from 2010. And this judgment was in connection with negotiations between the city and Portland Rowing Club for the granting of easements on their property needed for the Selwood CSO pump station project. This item has been before the Planning and Sustainability Commission and was approved. And with me today to answer any questions you might have is Bill Ryan from the Bureau of Environmental Services.
All right. Okay. Good. Thank you. Questions? Concerns from the council? Okay. Anyone signed up?
Yes, we have Mary Ng, Sarah Gardner, and Corey Tolliver.
Okay, Mary, this is on a street vacation, so I assume you don't have any testimony on that. All right, come on up, please, ma'am.
I'm Sarah Gardner, the president of the Waverly Landing Condominium Homeowners Association, And we are supposed to receive half of the Sherritt Street vacation, which comes directly up to our building. And we just want to say that we very much appreciate this, the opportunity to have the land, to give us a little bit of buffer, and we accept.
I'm glad we could get it worked out. Thank you.
I hope we have.
I think we have now.
So excuse me, on that point, my understanding is that we were retaining both a pedestrian easement and a sewer easement over the entire property. Is that your understanding also?
That's our understanding, and we also understand that this is to be determined after the there's also a pedestrian path along the river, which is currently not enforced across the rowing club's property. It is across ours. And we understand that that walking path right of way down the vacation cannot be put into place until the other walkway across the rowing club's property is in effect.
Okay,
but we
you.
Do understand that.
Well, I'd like to get clarification from staff on that point. So thank you for saying that.
I'm going to come back up and clarify that question.
Was there another person? Was there somebody else signed up?
There was a Corey Tolliver.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come on up if you'd like.
Come on up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to exclude you.
My name is Corey Tolliver with law firm Bolan Alterman Richardson. I represent the Portland Rowing Club, which joins both of the street vacations. And I'd just like to say that the Rowing Club obviously supports the application, understands the public easements and utility easements across the two pieces of property, and would like to thank the commission for its work on this. It's been a long process over the last couple of years to get the Selwood pump station in place and to bring the stipulated judgment, kind of work it out, which was the agreement between the rowing club and the city of Portland. And I can address any objections that the council has, but other than that, I think you can probably talk to the commission.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you. And questions for staff? Yes.
Yes, any questions you have concerning?
I'd like to know more about the pedestrian easement, both down the vacated right-of-way and parallel to the river.
Okay, there will be a pedestrian easement reserved over the portion of Sherritt to be vacated. There is currently not an easement for a pedestrian trail across the rowing club property. There is over the Waverly Landing condominiums portion. So this easement for the trail would connect up to the Springwater Corridor Trail and provide a connection down to the Greenway Trail along the river.
So was there any discussion of asking for an easement across the rowing club property?
There was discussion before Planning Commission and amongst staff, but at this point, it was decided at the point that the rowing club came in to for permits to develop their land. At that time, we would get an easement for the Greenway Trail.
Is there a condition of approval on that for the street vacation?
There's not a condition of approval from the Planning Commission for the Greenway Trail on the Rowing Club's property.
So this is a non-emergency ordinance. I'd like some discussion on that before the vote, because it seems like we're giving the right-of-way going down to the river to the adjacent properties. It would be appropriate, in my opinion, to get an easement across the properties similar to what's on the Waverly condominiums in order to be able to complete the Greenway Trail, which is, after all, a state regulation.
Great.
So if we could have some discussion about that, I'd appreciate it.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good. Other questions? And if not, then I believe this passes to second reading, right? Yes. That's the second reading. Get a chance to answer those questions before it comes back for second reading. Thanks. Okay, 766.
Amend contract with Portland Streetcar Inc. to provide additional project management and other professional services for the Portland Streetcar Loop project and increase compensation by $500.
Good morning.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, by way of introduction, both this and our next item do relate to the streetcar loop project, and both of them are allocating additional money. And as Catherine will explain, the money would come out of contingency funds. We're not adding additional dollars to the project. However, the purpose of the contingency is not, of course, to spend all of it. You hope you don't. And these expenses are related to some of our ongoing issues with the timely receipt of consistently functioning streetcars from Oregon Iron Works, United Streetcar, Inc. And I'd like to just take a moment to talk about our relationship with Oregon Iron Works, United Streetcar, Inc. I mean, there's a huge value in doing business with an Oregon company.